Blog
hey,
Talk
well,
Radio.
Came in early, but we're gonna go ahead with it anyway. Welcome again, everyone. Man, back again. Got another show for y'all, man. Another show. You know, we're talking today about what's needed to heal from narcissists, right? We're getting on that topic here and putting ourselves in a position to be able to, you know, move on in a healthy manner. You know, a lot of people, once they're out of the situation, you know, feel some anger. You know, some people feel as though they want to get back, some revenge, all these things, right? And even thoughts of, you know, there's some depression, and a lot of times people don't know when depression kicks in. Depression can be a tricky thing because you can think you're normal, and you might know you're going through a funk, and you might not acknowledge it as depression, but it's actually depression. And unless you get the proper help to deal with that, I mean, you can find yourself sinking deeper and deeper into that depression. A lot of times that's what happens. You know, you lose, you know, motivation to do things in life and, you know, kind of sulking, you know, whatnot. But most of the time, what happens when you deal with narcissists is you get brought into a world of fantasy, right? Because you're in this illusion. So now that you got, you know, detached yourself from the reality of what is, you got to find your way back. You know, you always talk about, you know, going out into the rabbit hole. You know, once you're done and then the truth hits you in the face, it can be hard. It can be hard to deal with. It can be a hard pill to swallow. Especially when you come to the realization that, wait a minute, all of this stuff that I was going through with this individual, this is the end result. This is really what it is, right? And you sit back and then you scratch your head because you're bewildered. You can't believe what just went on. And it's at that point, at that moment, that you realize, wow, I've just been, you know, I just came out of the Twilight Zone. You know, that's why I say they out here narking. You know, they really out here narking, and people don't really understand that once you come out, that's not the end of the battle. Because your brain has to be reconditioned back to being normal again after dealing. See, the longer you've been dealing with these narcissist type of individuals, the worse it becomes. Because for the most part, you were dealing in an altered state of reality, right? So we got to look at, let's dissect what is reality. People say, oh, that's, they're not being real or keep it real. Well, what's reality? Well, reality is basically the moral interpretation of facts, right? It's the way that a person honestly articulates facts or the unaltered observation of information that is received, given back. That's reality, right? So that final proof ends up being the truth from a fact. Well, if you're dealing with a narcissist, we definitely don't have a moral interpretation going on, right? We don't have that. And what the narcissist is presenting is not being presented in an honest way. And we damn sure know that it's not untampered with. So the observation that we're receiving and getting from the information from the narcissist has been contaminated. And this is all the stuff your mind is taking in. Your brain's taking in all of this stuff, right? So it's actually altering and messing your mind up as well from dealing with them. Right? And so at a certain point, we have to go within and start to break down some of these perceptions that we had accepted, at least from these individuals. And we have to understand and at least go inside of ourselves too. Because when we look inside of the narcissist, we go within the narcissist. The narcissist entertains the world of idealistic fantasies, right? That's what they're entertaining. And so once you start to deal with a person like that, you get thrown completely off of your basis from being connected to reality. This is why the confusion is so much confusion when you're dealing with them. Why nothing seems to make any sense. Why things, it seems like you're running in circles. Because you've, the reality or the truth or the facts have been tampered with, have been altered. So your observation of the information that you're getting or whatever you're receiving is going to be altered too. Now you're not operating in truth. You're operating from the illusion, which is separating you from reality, right? So one of the biggest things, and when we look at, you know, recovering, getting over this, dealing with these type of individuals, you must conquer common mistakes of yourself, right? So when we go through these things and we understand that, okay, I got here from something. A mistake is just something to let you know that there was a glitch or something that went wrong in how you operate or how you're thinking or your behavior, which you took actions upon and it landed you in that situation, right? And so we have to be able to, this is what we introspection, going inside and looking at ourselves, something that the narcissist doesn't do. We have to do that, right? We have to be able to do that in order to unravel, you know, and untangle all of the psychological chaos that's went on while you were with these individuals. You know, so people say meditation, right? And for most people, when they think about meditation, they think about, you know, you're closing your eyes, and, you know, you fold your legs and all of that. But meditation, you know, and even that term, you know, God says, let God and be still, you know. We have to look at, you know, the purpose of meditating and why it's effective and why being still, being quiet is important. So for the most part, meditation, again, as I said, it isn't just sitting and trying to think of nothing and clearing your brain. Meditation is basically the quiet recognition and realization of the values of life, right? That has been presented to us, at least in our daily experiences. So that means we have to go over our actions while in a meditative state. It's not blanking your mind out. It's basically taking the time to allow yourself to go over the actions, to replay situations and dissect and pick out the mistakes, right? As I said, we have to conquer the common mistakes of ourselves in order not to repeat them again. So this is a big factor in that, right? We have to be able to do that. It's important. What that does after a while is it starts to clear up our own traps that we have from our own mindsets, from our belief systems as well, right? So it's kind of like the mind's way of, when you do this, of getting out bad programming so that you can operate smoother without the mistakes. And so you have to go through. You ever notice when you run a security scan or a scan, viral scan on your computer, it has to go through all those files that you have, right, in order to find if something is infected or wrong. And if it does, it extracts that file, pulls it up to where you can see it, and then it gives you a report on it. So now it's giving you where the issue is, right? So that's the same way that we have to do ourselves in our minds when we go back and we're reflecting. That's what we're thinking about. Meditation is supposed to be actively seeking what is within that is causing the issues or the problems that keeps us making mistakes, right? And so that's one of the most important things that I can bring forward in that aspect. When we are trying to heal ourselves, we have to take it to ourselves first. So at sometimes we might have to separate from certain people and things for a while so that we can focus on us, focus on rejuvenating and getting ourselves healthy again from a better mindset or mindset. Again, in case anyone's just joining on, the topic tonight is what's needed to heal from narcissists. And I'm going to go to the phone line. I'm going to be anyone that wants to speak. We're going to be talking about, or maybe you can share what has been most difficult for you to overcome. You know, what's that one thing that just you got stuck at a certain point and it was like you hit a brick wall and you may not know how to move forward. So that's what we're speaking on. So I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to open up the lines. I'm going to go to, I think I got 786. That's the prefix, 786 prefix. Open up the line to you if you want to speak.
Hi.
786.
Hi, Quinn. Hi, Quinn.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Good, and you?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Miami.
Okay. Well, welcome, Miami. How you doing? You want to speak on something as a part of your healing that you may have gotten stuck on, that you know you're having a hard time getting past?
Yeah, I mean, I've been since I was a child, like around narcissists, and I recently escaped a covert narcissist. And as you know, sometimes they're a little bit more tricky to discern because they always come across as the do-gooder. So I got away after a couple months because I noticed some major things. But I would say one of the hardest things, because I've been away from them for about a month, is probably the guilt that they kind of manufacture in you. Because I think when you approach them, they always want to appear like the wounded, lost puppy, like, they come across as like they really need saving and helping, and they try to come across as almost like overly sensitive. So I think that makes us kind of like empathize a lot with them and think they're really struggling, but it's more of like a lure to pull us in. So I think when I went, walked away, and he just kept saying how he was going into depression, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. It was just a matter of like my mind being able to pull itself away from feeling like all the guilt that he kind of like instilled in me from the beginning, because I kept focusing on the guilt, like, oh my God, he's going into depression, and what if he tries to maybe kill himself because I've cut him off, because I said, don't contact me again over text, and I left it at that, and then he flipped out. But it's like, I know it's not our responsibility, but I think they pull you in with that false guilt, and I just felt like really guilty about it and just thought, am I a bad person? So I think that's the thing, like, you kind of struggle with, I think, especially when you walk away, is just that guilt. And one of the things that I've tried to do, I think, to recover from it is just think that, that, you know, kind of validation, like, no, I was right. And it's kind of a matter of, I think, seeking out, you know, people who can be like, yes, they were abusing you, and kind of like validate you and your experience. Mm-hmm. I think that's really helped a lot. And yeah, trying to overcome the guilt and thinking, you know, no, I wasn't the bad person in this. It's very hard to pull yourself, I think, back into reality and like a grounded state, because they really pull you out of reality.
Well, you know what it is? The thing about that is the fact that whenever a person intentionally denies the truth, right, and insists on being oppositional towards the truth, they are trying to force the lie, the disconnect of reality on you. They're trying to basically disconnect you from reality. So if you can imagine, envision them pulling, you're attached to reality, and they're pulling the plug that attaches you to reality away from you,
yeah,
or out of you, right? And they,
yeah,
want you to adopt and accept the victim role. Them playing the victim is another form of lying.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just lying. They're not a victim.
Yeah.
But if we internalize that and we start to think that, oh, okay, well, they said this, they did that, and they're steadily announcing and bringing up that how what you did to them and this, that, and the third and so forth, without realizing this one law that's very critical, and that's the law of cause and effect, that what they did brought on the reaction or the effects that they're dealing with afterwards, which that's going to naturally happen. They don't want to accept that, so they just want to have the ladder of being the victim as their story. When they're not telling the full and they're not willing to accept the full basis of the situation being that they initiated a reaction towards them, right? So they bring on stuff onto themselves. And that's not your fault. That's their fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So part of that guilt means you have to be able to stand firmly knowing that, no, that's not my fault. I'm not the one guilty. You brought that on yourself. And that's one of the most important things to stand on, to keep you attached to reality so that you don't fall into that the trickery and the illusions that they try to put forth and into your mind, at least.
Yeah, that really, that statement you just said makes like everything so clear, because I remember the last time I saw a relative who used to actually physically beat me all the time as a child, like, the last time I saw them, I looked at them and I said, you know, you remember how you used to beat me? And she looked at me and she's like, oh, no, you used to hit me, remember? And that was obviously complete denial of reality. And I just thought, after
mm-hmm.
that, I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is totally a lie. Like, what you said is absolutely
right.
True. Yeah. Oh, my
right.
gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. When you see a person doing that, it's obviously they're playing games. They're trying. They're
yeah.
they're blatantly lying.
Yeah.
And they can't be taken seriously anymore at that point. Now, not
yeah.
taking them seriously means that you're disconnecting from their world, right? We're not going to even play with them like that. We're going to disconnect from their world. Look, you can stay over there in La La Land, and I'm going to be amongst the living. And you leave it at that. And you do not consider them an equal or someone who is just like you if they're operating out of a detachment of from reality in that capacity, and they're operating out of fantasy and illusion. You can't take someone seriously like that, because on a lot of other levels, they're going to be incompetent. So that is definitely not someone you want to put on the same level as you or give the same sort of treatment, respects, so forth and so on, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the call. And thank you for chiming in as well. Tune in again. I mean, we always appreciate people dropping their experiences for it. It really helps other people as well. So thank you. Bye now. Yeah. Yeah, everyone, that guilt tripping thing, you know, that's just lying at the end of the day. It's just another way of lying to make themselves appear as the victim, so that if they do it often enough, you'll start normalizing it and you'll start to put it on an even keel with them, and you'll start to question yourself. Am I being rude? Am I doing something? No, the only thing that you're doing is beginning to be brainwashed into that illusion of being the antagonist, the one that is the perpetrator, at least, or the one that is antagonizing someone who is initiating and causing these effects and bringing these things on themselves. So something very important to understand with that, and to not get sucked up into that. Another big thing when we are trying to transition and move on from these individuals, we have to start cutting out people who are not beneficial to our progress, our evolution and evolving as the better part of ourselves. We gotta start cutting these people out, because you'll notice that they just disrupt your energy, and you can't do as much as you should or could be doing if they weren't in your presence, or if you weren't having to entertain these individuals. The old saying that, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You know what I mean? And there's another thing too, a good reference, and it's from Pastor T.D. Jakes. If you look it up on YouTube, just look in the he has a really good video explaining the three types of people or friends in your life. And that is an excellent presentation that he gave about the three types of people, which he was naming confidants, and then constituents, and then comrades, right? Each one serves a different purpose. Your confidants are going to be your most loyal. It's from Pastor T.D. Jakes. It is a definite, you most definitely want to listen to that. And it can help you, if you take to the message, you know, really start to see the significance of why it's important to choose people that you deal with wisely. Right. And that's that's a big thing, you know, into moving on. And another big thing that is important too, you have to do what you don't want to do to get where you want to be. That calls for discipline. You have to have a strong desire to heal and get better than what you were when you went into the situation with the narcissist. Right. You have to have that strong desire to want to do that. That's going to propel you to even greater heights that you didn't even know you were capable of being. It's so important. I'm going to go back to the line. I'm going to go to 916. 916.
Yes. Hi, Quinn.
916. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir.
Can you hear me?
And yourself? Yes, I can.
I'm doing good. Where are you calling from?
Good. The Bay Area, California.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
You got something you want to say? You want to speak on something that's really nagging you to get over? Good.
Yeah, I think it's mourning the loss of the person that I thought that they were.
Okay.
You know, because you
go ahead,
start
speak
to
on
schedule
it.
You start to schedule and you start to plan your life around this character of the person of who you thinking that they are. And then it's like that rug is pulled from under you and you fall flat on your back, and you have to pick yourself up, heal your concussion, heal all of the bumps and bruises alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just dealing with the betrayal, dealing with the betrayal of falling in love with a character that's not real.
That comes from, you know, we build certain expectations when we meet people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we have expectations based off our own inner core values or beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Problem is
mm-hmm.
we don't always properly align those with people that have the same similar type of values and interests as we do,
mm-hmm.
right? We get
mm-hmm.
swept off our feet by, in a lot of terms, the pleasure principle. And I'm not always I'm not talking specifically about sex either.
Right.
I mean, just
yeah.
whatever they're able to do to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
narcissists know how to charm people to make them feel good, to make that person desire being around them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what ends
mm-hmm.
up happening is it starts to create an addiction for that person
yes.
to constantly be
yes.
around. To fulfill them,
yes.
having fun, doing all these things.
Exactly.
So now we throw out or we put on the back burner
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily prioritizing our values
mm-hmm.
as to what we want
right.
because the pleasure
mm-hmm.
principle is a lot stronger,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
yes.
discipline, again, by knowing if we have that discipline and not go before our values – we can't get swept away by charming ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Understood.
And so that's the biggest thing because these individuals that are narcissists and toxic individuals come with
mm-hmm.
ulterior motives.
Yeah.
So they may present themselves as wanting a relationship, wanting something
mm-hmm.
deep. And this is the false reality that they're painting in front
mm-hmm.
of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is going to grab
yeah.
the perception from you, and this is what you're going to begin to record. This is what this
mm-hmm.
is what it is. This is what you attach
mm-hmm.
your emotions to and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, again, the narcissist has now brought you into their world of idealistic fantasies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when the fantasy is cut off,
mm-hmm.
because there's never an end to it. I mean, it's like I always say, you go for the ride
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have a destination.
Mhm. Mhm.
And so it just ends.
Mhm.
And you're looking
exactly.
to have the fulfillment, and when that fulfillment
exactly.
is not completed, that's what you start feeling, that longing, that desire
exactly.
to want to finish, to complete. What you started.
Exactly. That's exactly
right?
what it is.
A normal person
yeah.
derives most of their pleasure from the completion of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's one thing we
yep.
can be going through it and it's fun, but we want the ending result to be completed in the manner of which we have based our expectations on.
Absolutely.
That's where it fails with the narcissist
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they have no intentions on completing
mm-hmm.
anything that they start.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into that point, we realize like, wow, this is it.
Yeah.
Where's the big, you know, that's like
mm-hmm.
some of these, and I won't mention any companies. They'll mention these type of things, have you come to these seminars, and
mm-hmm.
they'll talk up all these vacation things that you can go on, this, that, and the third. And the thing is, when you get there, it's really a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to actually give you this free vacation thing. So when you find out it's just a sales pitch and there's a twist to it, well, you can have the vacation, but you're going to have to pay this
if
and that and all
this
other type
right.
of stuff. Right.
Exactly.
Completely throws the mood off, completely just, you know, a downer.
Correct.
Because
yep.
it was the the way that they presented it was mm-hmm. somewhat under false pretenses. So it lured us in, and that's how the narcissist does it. And when we're not able mm-hmm. to complete these things, it affects us greatly, you know. And that's the thing when we think about, well, we have to go back in and say, well, okay, I expected this, but the person that I was expecting this from
mm-hmm.
isn't, you know, they're not who they say they are.
Exactly.
You know, it's like if you let's say another example, let's say you're going to get surgery or something, and there was this doctor you built a great rapport with. You
mm-hmm.
really like this
mm-hmm.
doctor. You really,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're like, I trust him. I want to be
mm-hmm.
with this doctor. I want to go to this doctor to have them do my surgery. I don't want any other doctors to
mm-hmm.
to do my surgery. I want this doctor. Then you find
mm-hmm.
out he's not even a doctor.
Right. He
and
got
he's not even
license.
Capable of doing the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a letdown, because
mm-hmm.
you put all this trust, you put everything into this doctor. You want this person to do your to perform your surgery.
Yeah.
And
yep.
now he can't. Now that leaves
no.
you just hanging. Like, what do I do now?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, at a certain point, you have to be able to say, well, because he's not a real doctor, that would have ended up maybe disastrous because you
mm-hmm.
in your life or whatever. So at that
yeah.
point, you have to just kind of let that go and be like, that was an imposter. It's not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we deal with these
mm-hmm.
narcissistic people, we have to understand they're imposters. There's nothing real about
yeah.
them. So to mourn or to lose anything from an imposter, we have to be able to reconcile that within ourselves and realize
mm-hmm.
that, hey, I was dealing with a very sick individual.
Exactly.
And
they would have the real thing.
You know, right.
Yeah.
And so when we can make peace with that within ourselves, we can
mm-hmm.
detach without the lingering
mm-hmm.
effects of longing for something that isn't healthy or that's not even what it is in the first place.
Exactly. Thank you so much for that, Quinn. I really appreciate
absolutely.
That. It really helped me. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. I mean, yeah, that is a common one that people deal with, these narcissists. And, you know, when it's all said and done and it's like, wow, the narcissist has, you know, they've moved on. They went and did this and they went and did that. Look, that's a sick individual on the loose. If anything, we want to stay as far away from as possible from them. See, the thing is, the cognitive dissonance, as they call it, is really kicking in, and it's making you feel as though, wait a minute, I know there's some facts about them that is off and wrong, but you just can't yet accept it because part of you still believes that they are who there's somebody who is good beneath all of this stuff and that is healthy and that can be, you know, there can be some sort of compromise to make things work. And in reality, that's not true. That's just not the truth. That individual that you're dealing with isn't going to be fixed, and there isn't any part of them that is going to be able to be managed to where you can have any type of harmony with them or build anything else with them. And once you really realize that and let that sink in and realize that is a perpetual state that they'll be in for the rest of their lives, you start to not feel so bad about there not being a completion, and you start to feel good about there being a completion. You'll actually be glad that you did have that end and rejoice. I'm going to go back to the line, 757. 757, you're live. Hello? 757, going once, going twice. Yes, they're just tuning in. All right, I got 872. I'm going to go to 872 now. 872, you're on live. 872. Going once. Going twice. Okay. I'll go back to talking. I guess some people just listen, but that's all good. So another thing, speaking about, you know, when we're healing and when we're trying to get to that point of healing, you have to have, and whatever you do, you have to have a passion for whatever it is that you're trying to achieve or accomplish. You have to have that deep desire, a passion for that. That's where the motivation and the drive comes from, you know. It's very important, and it's important that we have reference points. And I always say we have to measure our success in recovery, right? You know, we have to stop overanalyzing too. That's another big thing when we're coming out of these things with narcissistic or toxic people, is that we overanalyze, right? And we do this, we overanalyze because we're unsure. We're unsure about the decision we've made. We're unsure if this is the right thing or how it's going to turn out in the end. And we keep replaying and thinking and switching and altering, and that's not a good state to be in. And a lot of times, the overanalyzing and being hesitant in a decision and staying even with the narcissist, a lot of this comes from being worried about being embarrassed. You know, or having to deal with, and sometimes it's not embarrassed about from other people, but it's just, it can be internal, an ego type of embarrassment. It's a blow to the ego. And so sometimes we justify staying or, you know, not seeing them for what they are because we don't want to take that loss. We don't want to have that lost, placed on our egos. And that can be heavy to deal with. And so a lot of times we may choose to stay in those situations to not have to deal with that, to not have to deal with our ego tearing us up. But we have to be able to be real again with ourselves, humble our egos, and be more concerned about getting better and healing ourselves. I'm going to go back to the line at 702, extension 7, oh, prefix 702. 702, you're on live.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, hello.
What's going on, brother? I can hear you. I can hear you. You know, you're on the ASSC Direct Podcast show. You want to share with us... We're and I think what's that, Vegas 702?
Yeah, my name's Vince.
Okay.
You was on the podcast before a while back.
Okay, but, brother. You want to share with us?
Something to, like, you're saying, like, a hitting a wall after the whole situation. I think it's, you know, just sitting back and just looking like, damn, how can somebody just throw away another person's effort after getting so many chances? Like, my situation is like, you know, having a child involved in a home, you know, like basically we live together, you know what I'm saying? It's a household situation with a child, and just seeing like you sit back like, damn, this person really thought that this was a great idea at the time. It just seems like, I mean, it was kind of like a hard pill to swallow at the time. Just, you know, because, you know, when you're with the narcissist, you do a lot of back and forth. So I've moved out, you know, she's been moved out, you know, then, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know what, we're going to keep a solid foundation, keep the family together. And then all of a sudden, they cry and beg you back. You move back in. Once they got you, you know, in their harem, and then it's, you know, they get bored and tired of you, and then it's just they just throw everything away. So that, I think that was just that kind of hits you when you're trying to move forward. Like, damn, this where I'm at now? Like, you're just trying to pick up all the pieces, you know?
Right. Well, you know, the narcissist is very, they're very shifty individuals, you know, because an end of them specifically, they don't operate in truth. They're constantly adopting different belief systems, and these can last for a week, a month, based on however long that it serves them, that belief system serves them or is beneficial to them. So one belief system can say, do this, and now they're off with a whole nother thing. And then once that doesn't work, and quite oftentimes it doesn't, then that's when they're begging to get back in where it was good. You see, because to not be able to properly rationalize with logic and to have the ability to use insight and foresight, an individual is bound to have repetitive mistakes and have to and do things that have no rhyme or reason to it. Right? And so they'll make that move, and then it's like, well, uh-oh, I messed up. But I know he knows I messed up, so I got to get back in somehow. Let me beg back in. Let me beg myself back in. And, you know, I took a risk because they're always, remember, they have the grass is greener syndrome. They're always looking at the next thing is going to be the next big thing to fulfill their fantasy in their head. Right. And this is that magical thinking. So they'll take that risk. What you saw was a risk being taken that failed.
Yeah.
And they're habitual risk takers. They'll take that risk because it sounds good in their mind and it feels good and everything. Oh, I'm going to go for that. When they're in that state, there's nothing else that exists. And they'll go for what they want. Then once it fails, uh-oh, that wasn't a good thing after all. Let me go back to where it was good. And then, again, as most of them are, they get bored very easily. They're back in. It's good for about 2 weeks. Their mind starts to drift again into some other fantasy that they're trying to fulfill. And now they're plotting and scheming again for the next type of situation. Or undertaking that they're you know trying to act out or have fulfilled, and that's why you see that dynamic play itself out like that, you know, which is really an individual who, I mean, who wants to be with a totally unpredictable person?
Yeah,
that's
no
a headache
accountability.
Within itself.
Yeah,
right. That's just too much to be worrying about.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're gonna do from one minute to the next. That was even one of the biggest things that I would witness, like the shiftiness, you don't know what's coming next. And to not be able to have, you know, a certain ground of what you can expect and predictability from a person creates a hostile type of situation. You have internal unrest in your mind. You can't be at peace. Because now you got to be wondering, what are they going to do? What are they going to do next? What's going to be the next thing that I'm going to have to find out about and deal with?
Yeah.
Can't have
or
peace
what's the
that
next
way.
Blow up? Yeah.
Right, right. And that's a miserable way to live. That's a miserable way to have to deal with somebody when you really think about it. It's like they're better off gone or you're better off out of that situation than to be in it. You know, we can't always go by what society says and what they think because they don't know everybody's situation. You know, some people say, oh, stay together, make it work. But, hey, sometimes that'll be more detrimental to the other person who is healthy and end up damaging them as well.
Yeah.
We have to go off.
Exactly.
We have to go off what is best for us. At the end of the day, we have to live our lives. We have to survive, basically, is what I'm saying. We still have to survive in this world. So in order to be capable of surviving and taking care of yourself to be able to take care of others, you have to be in the best operational form that you can be in. Otherwise, you can throw it all away.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things that society says is just it sounds good, but in practical in life situations, it doesn't always work that way. You know, there's somebody who's what boxer said this, that everybody's bad until they get hit or something like that. Or everybody can take a punch till they get actually hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a whole difference, you know. We can't go off of what society would say and expect for the millions of people that are out there. There's not a one-size-fit-all solution that works that way. Each situation is different. Every circumstance has different variables. And by default, there's going to be different ways to deal with them. So I think in essence, rather, when you're seeing that, to, you know, conclude on your question, that right there is that's witnessing insanity playing itself out when you see that.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get any better, you know, and most of them are barely functioning within society as being normal. They're just not. If they were out doing something like physical things, like murdering people or something like that, then they would have to get the attention put forward towards that, and dealing with that would have to be expedited. But because it's just emotional damage, society doesn't really have a way to gauge that or really deal with that, you know, to actually enforce it, I guess. So that's why they stay as they are and they fly under the radar.
Yeah, because you know what? I thank God. I mean, your videos really helped out, but a lot of people don't know anything about this or what they're dealing with. And when I try to talk to them about it, it's just like, it's like I'm in a matrix and they're in a different world. They don't, like, their mind hasn't expanded to what we're actually dealing with. Oh, she's just crazy. Or, you know, because how is everything you're talking about? You've never met me. You don't know me. You don't even know I existed, but you're able to put out a video and it describes every action and what, you know, as far as the cycle, like you said, you know, that took place. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I went through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hear, like, when you're not around them, like, you know, because I still keep in contact with the grandparents. They, you know, my daughter goes over there sometimes, and, you know, that's how I contact. You know, I had to go with no contact because she's still trying to act crazy because they get, I guess, you know, a narcissistic blow to their ego that you cut them off and you're not dealing with them. There ain't no late night calls. Can I come over? That, all that's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, they can't take that. That old trying to, you know, I don't care how pretty you think you are, it's just not going to work anymore. Like, you know, it's not even worth it. The juice is not worth the squeeze at the end of the day. You're not going to, once they get in, you give them a little inch, they're going to try to get in and work their little magic, and it's not going to happen. I mean, you put a video out, like the seduction in the whole nine, that's exactly, you know what I'm saying? Your whole fantasy is be fulfilled, and then you'll be ready to, man. Jump off the bridge.
There's a price to pay for it. There's a price to pay for it. Because, see, that seduction is just basically it's only to root themselves into your life. You know, the deeper they get their roots sunken into your life and everything that you're doing, the harder it'll be to get them out of your life. And that's what they want. They don't care about consequences that happen. They don't care about that. They don't care about the consequences that happen from that. They just want to, you know, as it is, I mean, because, again, they're operating in a fantasy-type mode. And in fantasy, just like a cartoon, a character can get killed 1,000 times over. The next episode, right back in the episode, right? The character never dies off. And that's how they think about life. They can do everything and anything and keep being, they can always make up for it, is how they think. And when you have someone who thinks in that way, they'll do the extreme just to get somebody or get in that person's life, because they feel like I can always replace that person or that situation with somebody else. I'm always going to come out on top. I'm always going to be able to recover from this. And so when you have somebody that has that type of mentality, it makes for a very unstable, dangerous, and reckless individual that you don't want no parts of. So, again,
yeah.
Brother, I thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
We're ready to wrap up here, but I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate you. Yeah, everyone. I mean, I appreciate all the callers tonight. There's some good questions. I appreciate y'all sharing y'all stories, y'all situations. It is something deep that we really have to consider and take into account. And again, I can't stress, we can't let society try to guilt or shame us into certain positions and ways either. Right? We can't allow that, because if it comes down to it, society's not gonna go out its way to take care of you. It's not. So only person that's gonna take care of you the way you need to be taken care of is yourself. So with that being said, being mindful of allowing ourselves, giving ourselves the right environment to heal and recover in is of the utmost importance. And, you know, making sure that we're assessing our progress and again, cutting off those who aren't beneficial to helping or getting you to a better place. People who are naggers, people who are negative people, always got something negative to say, people who are always judging people, who always they love, you know, being a part of gossiping and all this, all negative type traits. We need to avoid them. We have to avoid them, and we have to align ourselves with people that are about where we're about what we are, and people who are basically, you know, into the same things that we're into to get. That are on the same grounds of what we're about as well, you know. Start going around the things that you want to be. You got to hang around the things you want to have, and you have to entertain the type of people who are trying to get to or in the position of being what you're trying to become or whatnot. That's you know, reflective energy right there. You know, and it is powerful when you think about that energy thing, but that's for another episode. We'll get into that some other time. But anyway, I appreciate everyone for jumping on and tuning in. Anybody who, you know, just for anybody who may catch this later listening, if you want to tune in, it's Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. The call-in, if you want to call to speak on the show or join the show. The way you join the show is you dial 347-945-5948. You press 1 to speak. So Wednesdays, 9 p.m. If you missed the episode, it'll be uploaded onto the ASSC Group Network YouTube channel. Anyway, I appreciate all y'all for jumping on. Love yourselves. Have a good one. Bye now.